The Astros got off to another lousy start last night against the Twins before the bats brought them back.
Ball ripped, fair ball. That'll score one run. Tyler White on the move. Gary Pettis watching the ball in the corner. They're going to hold White at third as the Astros make it a 3-2 game on Springer's second consecutive RBI base hit. Altuve high and deep to left field. This ball is on the train tracks. Train number 27 has just left Union Station. The Astros lead 10-4.
Astros rallied from that 3-0 hole. Todd Callis on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest. They snapped the losing streak, winning 10-4. Guys, you look at this offense, and it has been terrific recently, even with some of the ups and downs, the wins and losses. Can they be as great as they were 2 years ago?
The offense?
Yes.
Yes. That's hard to say because they were historically great. But you also, this is going to hinge on Diaz, Chirinos,
Reddick,
Tyler White. Well, Reddick, Reddick's been awesome. Reddick's going to come back down to.
Agreed.
He's going to stabilize a little bit.
But he's going to be out there more often than some of those guys.
Yeah, he's changed his approach at the plate, you know, and he's just kind of taking what comes to him. I think that he's made, like, bona fide improvements, but, like, you can't ever project that, yeah, hey, he's going to be better than he's historically been for the entire season. I don't think that's going to happen. So it's Tyler White, Chirinos. Like, what are you doing at DH and catcher that's different now? Also, and look, in Diaz versus, let's see, 2 years ago, though, that was when Marwin was on his historically, like, that was the best his career will probably ever be.
Yes.
So maybe Diaz can't match that at the plate. But yeah, I think it's possible. It's hard because they were record breaking, like one of the most historically potent offenses we've ever seen. So I think they can be up at that level, but to surpass it, I'm going to say no.
Right now, when you have a guy like Josh Reddick, who is in your seventh spot, hitting .373, which is the best average on the team, that doesn't seem sustainable, but as long as he's hitting to a degree like that, in that spot, I mean, this lineup is going to continue to have moments like it did last night where it gets things started for George Springer, who had a couple of RBI hits, or it keeps things going for Jose Altuve to send a moon ball over the Crawford boxes like he did last night.
Josh Reddick's got that pressure of parenthood coming. He's probably dialed in and focused. You're like, oh crap, I don't just have one kid coming. I got two now.
Yeah, two.
I got to really, straighten up
on
and
it.
Fly right. He's not that he's ever been like a, you know, like a bad dude or anything. It's that extra pressure. Some guys don't respond to it well. Sometimes they fall apart. Football, nothing worse than a guy who's been softened by his children and all of a sudden has humanity and
do you have a teammate example? Without naming names?
No. I was just joking for the most part. I can't think of anybody who's ever ruined by having a child. I've seen guys ruined by baby mamas. That's a whole other deal. Yeah,
that's a whole other deal.
That's a dude. You gotta look. You gotta be sure you don't get yourself involved with drama from the wrong kind of people.
I don't think the offense will be as great as it was 2 years ago because, as Seth mentioned, the historical aspect is tough to match, but it's clearly the best part of this baseball team with what's going on at the top of the lineup and then the contributions you're getting from Yuli and the way Reddick is hitting. And Tyler White's been a little bit better the last couple of nights as well. The Astros will go for the series win tonight against the Twins. Next headline, guys, we are one day away from the first round of the NFL draft. J.J. Watt joined us on the show on Tuesday. And I asked him what advice he would give to a Texans draft pick.
Take a second. Enjoy it. Bring it. Drink it all in. Enjoy every second of what just happened. You just got drafted. Hug your family. Think about everything that has transpired to get you to this point. It is an unbelievable thing. You just got drafted in the NFL. Like you've worked your whole life for this thing. Take a second for that. Now, once tonight's over and once, you know, you settle back down at 24 hours later or however long later, get ready to work because that's the only thing that's going to keep you in this league and keep you successful in this league is if you work. It's so easy to get caught up in the lifestyle. There's so many different things going on, people coming at you. You have money now. You have all these different things. It's easy to get caught up in the lifestyle. Don't let that happen. Enjoy the lifestyle. Do it. Take advantage of the opportunities. But make sure you remember why you're there and make sure you remember what is going to make you successful moving forward, and that's the work.
Seth, you're good at advice. What advice would you give to these draft picks?
First, I would piggyback off of J.J. Watt's advice, and everything he just said reminded me of a story that kind of answers your question, Paul, which was this guy, this grimy offensive lineman from the Midwest, just a good old, like, dirty blue-collar dude that met a woman that, frankly, she targeted this fella because she met him at the bar and she found out that he was a football player. Within a year, he was wearing, like, designer clothes. I remember during training camp one day.
So you're stylish.
I remember during training camp one year, we finally had a day off. You know, it was this Camp Coughlin stuff. And so we had a day off after like three straight weeks. And he lived in the same apartment complex as I did. And I saw him driving in with his new fancy girlfriend. And he got out of his car and he was wearing like his fancy leather sandals. You know, in Florida, he's like all Tommy Bahama out and everything, like all silky clothes and everything, getting out of his fancy luxury SUV that had just come into vogue back then. And I'm like, oh, what the hell happened to this dude? And I walked in, he got out of the car and he had like eight shopping bags.
Oh,
I said, hey, buddy, what'd you guys do today on your one day off? Like, oh, we went shopping for like 7 hours and I got a bunch of new clothes. And, this guy, this poor bastard, when he was done with the NFL sooner than he should have been because he got wrapped up in the lifestyle like JJ was just talking about, they were divorced within 2 months of him filing his retirement papers.
Wow.
Yeah. This was the cautionary tale to end all cautionary tales. Look.
That's depressing.
If you're a big, if you're a big sloppy dude that never had any luck with the ladies before all of a sudden you had a bunch of money, just be careful, okay? There's lots of good women out there. You're gonna meet a good woman, but you gotta be on the lookout for like, wow, this is one of the hottest women I've ever seen, and she's all about just getting up in my grill right now. Just think about the motives for a little bit. Just think about it for a little bit.
You gotta consider that.
Yeah, see, that's what JJ wouldn't. JJ's got to keep it clean. He can't tell the true down and dirty stories.
My advice to these players on draft day would be, you know what? Don't enjoy anything. Get straight to the film room. You need to learn this defense ASAP. You need to learn the offensive line work ASAP.
Special teams.
There is no time to sit back. You are a part of the Houston Texans now, and you have all the eyes of Houston on you right now.
In the NBA playoffs last night, in Game 5, we've seen this before in Houston as Damian Lillard executed the Thunder last night.
Tied at 115, crowd rising to the feet. George will defend Lillard. Spread floor. Lillard with 47 tonight. Working it down to 2-1. A deep three. Oh!
What?
Blazers win the series. A walk-off three from Lillard. The most improbable, impossible three. 50 for Lillard. Blazers win in 5. Shocking.
On the Blazers TV network, that was an excellent call, and
hear the Oklahoma City call for that one.
All right, we'll try to find that.
I thought he would jump off a ledge.
And for a minute, I thought that was actually the Oklahoma City because I thought he was saying, why? Why?
We in Houston 5 years ago, we know what it feels like to get eliminated by a Damian Lillard 3. But man, that one last night, and somebody in the audience can help me out on this. I can't recall an NBA playoff series ending on a 3 that was that far away. It was a 37-footer. That sunk Oklahoma City.
It was a beautiful shot.
It was an amazing shot.
Parsons, but that was, in some respects, I might say that the Lillard shot versus Parsons was more impressive just because it was well defended and it was over, but this was deep.
This is
really deep.
It's not just that. Lillard is basically standing at the Blazers midcourt logo. He's just sizing up the defender in front of him, Paul George, and Paul George is basically right in front of the 3-point line because he doesn't want Lillard to drive right by him. And then eventually there's like 2 seconds left and you're like, Lillard, what are you doing? And then he just bombs it.
He threw it from the logo. Like, that's where it was. He was closer to the logo than he was the 3-point
line. Absolutely. He was closer to the center logo than he was the 3-point line. And he made it.
How long was the ball in the air before Paul George thought, man, I wish I hadn't let Russell Westbrook bully me into coming back here? Remember last year when Russell Westbrook basically said, no, Paul George is coming back here. Like, he spoke for Paul George. Paul George couldn't. He just baited himself by even. You can't come back after that. You can't let the world think that Russell Westbrook just told you what to do. Yeah.
Well, could have been playing with LeBron. Could have been with LeBron in Hollywood.
That could have completed the deal for Anthony Davis. That might have done the trick.
Those are terrible options, both of them.
He would be in New Orleans right now.
Yeah. You know what? New Orleans might not be so bad, honestly.
New Orleans might actually be like, oh, okay, well, if Paul George is in the mix, it's one thing. You want to send me all these younglings that seem to have more attitude than they deserve. But maybe with Paul George in the mix, they would have gone.
I loved watching Russell Westbrook get shoved into a locker by Damian Lillard, because there is actually personal beef between the two. Yeah. With them, and honestly, as someone who just can't stand Russell Westbrook anymore, he annoys the hell out of me. I love watching how unconfident he's been in the last couple of games of this series, just looking completely worthless out there. Honestly, he has been a detriment to the Thunder in the playoffs, and they're stuck with him forever, and I love it, because the Thunder are run by Russell Westbrook.
This is the last house on the left. There's nothing they can do. I find it fascinating in sports when you hire somebody or you have a player and there's nothing else you can do. All you can do is ride with that guy, ride or die, and there's no other option. There's nothing they can do. They are stuck with Russell Westbrook losing the first round every single year, and there is nothing they can do about it. All right, there's something that Max Kellerman said yesterday that's going to sound very, very harsh. I want you guys to take a listen to this, Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Wednesday, because while it sounds harsh, I actually think Max Kellerman has a really good point when he compared James Harden to Peyton Manning.
This is the entire issue with James Harden. He doesn't hit shots in the playoffs when you need him to most. Now, it's not going to be an issue in this series. But they're about to face Golden State. And I have to believe, especially after Klay Thompson's comments, we're getting ready for them, that, yes, the Rockets may have been looking past the Jazz. You can see that also on hustle-type plays they weren't making. They kind of mailed the whole game in. But I wonder how much of even just the knowledge that Golden State is coming up next affects Harden. Stephen A., we have seen this time and again. James Harden has replaced Peyton Manning in American sports culture as the choker. And by that I mean he could still play very well in the playoffs by normal standards. But Peyton Manning regular season, I think clearly the best ever. Playoffs, different guy. And that has been James Harden's history when the going gets tough in the playoffs.
Okay.
Let me simplify this. Because there are a lot of things that Max Kellerman said that are wrong in that clip. But I want to ask you guys just the simple question. Is James Harden the new Peyton Manning?
Yes, but not in the way that Max Kellerman defined Peyton Manning.
Okay.
Peyton Manning's problems and issues were largely that he didn't have a team around him that was as good as he was until they started actually winning Super, or getting to the Super Bowl, making deep pushes.
To throw four interceptions in an AFC Championship game.
Yeah, but they're also, I mean, the defense was not up to his caliber, his part. Like, he was always having to outpace and outscore those, like, his own defense almost. Like, he had to undo the damage
his
own
fair,
defense had done.
But he also scored 3 points in the next playoffs against the secondary featuring guys off the street.
We could also point to Tom Brady's playoff stats and numbers and some of his poor playoff performances. Quarterbacks aren't as good in the playoffs. Like, that's tried and true. That's time tested.
Right. He's They're never not as bad as Manning.
Never as bad as Manning's worst games. But he also he's always had better coaches. He's not necessarily had a better offensive talent around him. Tom Brady hasn't. And I'm the first guy. Like, I know, for one, Paul, you're basically saying, well, he's not as good as Tom Brady, so he must what?
No, what I said had nothing to do with Tom Brady. What I said is, I mean, Manning's, his worst moments are horrible. The 2003-2004 AFC Championship game where he threw 4 interceptions, 3 to Ty Law, and the next round where he going up against a Patriots defense that was decimated by injuries featuring Hank Poteet, Earthwin Moreland, and Troy Brown at cornerback, he scored 3 points.
Yeah.
Like, those Patriot teams barely, those offenses weren't good for New England those years, and Peyton Manning choked. He vomited all over himself in those games.
Okay. So what changed with Peyton Manning then? When did he stop becoming a choker? Why was he a choker and then not a choker?
When he beat the Indianapolis Colts in the AFC Championship.
You mean the Patriots in 06, yes. In the 06-07 AFC Patriots. Championship.
But I'm sorry, like, so what? When does it become like, okay, he's a choker versus like, okay, now he's not a choker?
I don't like the word choker because it sounds very harsh. I think it's more just the comparison here between Harden and Manning is that these are guys in the regular season. Like, you can't do anything with these guys in the regular season. They're just so great week in and week out, night in and night out. Peyton Manning is the greatest regular season NFL player of all time. To me, he is the greatest regular season player of all time. But when you look at his legacy, he was not quite the same player in the postseason because it gets harder in the postseason and the defenses change, and it becomes harder to do the things that he does week to week.
It wasn't just then. I mean, go to his second Super Bowl against the New Orleans Saints where he threw the pick six that eventually ended the game. Like, he's had really bad moments in the middle of those games. And I think, honestly, if you point at the two championships that Peyton Manning won, whether it was the first one with Indianapolis, the defense won that championship. Yes, he won the AFC championship game, but he stunk in the Super Bowl. I thought he played a very mediocre game, and he shouldn't have won the MVP. It should have been one of the running backs, either Dominic Rhodes or I think it was Joseph Addai. And then in the latter Super Bowl, when he was with the Broncos, that he won.
Not the one
that he lost 43-8 to the Seahawks, where he also stunk. It was all defense in that game.
The Seahawks game was probably, like, in my mind, one of the worst ones, just because, like, from the get-go, he was flustered by the crowd noise at the Super Bowl. Like, that's never an issue.
The whole safety at the beginning of the game, really, I think, threw the Broncos offense into a rut that they couldn't get out of.
Yeah. So until he wins a Super Bowl, I think it's for slightly different reasons, but I think that's fair to say. Now, I think also, though, okay, so what do you disagree with there, Mike?
What do I disagree with? His supporting points were horrific.
Yes, yeah. And that's typical Kellerman. But I actually don't hate the argument, but Mike, I think you're going to go with, like, the last second shot thing. Like, that to me, that's a weird one to make.
Yeah, listen, some of the points that he was making about how, like, first of all, I thought Harden played fine. Yeah, Harden played fine in Game 4. I don't think he was thinking about the Warriors whatsoever in Game 4. I think choker is too harsh of a word to use. I just think that these are, but I think the overall points about Manning and Harden, the similarity is the pure greatness in the regular season, that these guys are impossible to check defensively, you know, every single week, every night in, night out. Then you get to the playoffs where it gets so difficult. You're facing in the basketball playoffs, you're facing the same team, you know, five times, six times, seven times, and the defense has become so good that his efficiency drops off. And he's not quite the same guy.
I don't. I don't hate that take by Kellerman, which is saying something, because
I'm not
a big fan of Kellerman's takes for the most part. Now, as usual, the supporting arguments are not as good as they could be. But yeah, I mean, we have still yet to see Harden have a game where he has not looked like Peyton Manning in the playoffs. You know, like we've seen Harden have good moments. But have those good moments come against the kind of teams that we would like to see the good moments happen against on a regular basis?
The real tragedy here is that Max Kellerman, by combining James Harden and Peyton Manning, got me to, for 35 seconds, try to defend Peyton Manning. And I feel sick and dirty about it now. Paul put me in my proper place. I feel disgusting.
Mike,
I feel
like Seth, and Paul.
I feel like I just hoard myself out for change.
I like to think that you were just trying to get me to elaborate on just how bad Peyton Manning is in those moments.
No, I was. I was like, shoot. Just go have the floor. You're right.
This is your wheelhouse.
Like, this is exactly.
Dive right in.
I was like, Seth, don't be the guy people say
you are. Let
me
get my flamethrower out.
Don't start screaming just because you're in a corner. Paul have his moment.